On Thursday, the church kept the feast of St. Luke, evangelist. It's therefore appropriate that our gospel proclamation came today from his gospel. A couple of Sundays ago, we looked at the subject of faith and the disciples' perception that they thought they needed more of it. You will remember that Jesus admonished them by telling them about the mustard seed and the mulberry tree, and taught them that the most amazing things can be done with the smallest amount of faith. Today, in the next chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus gave his closest companions advice on prayer. As Luke tells us, he told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. Jesus' parable concerns two characters, a judge and a widow. One commentator reminds us that the judge in question would have been a Gentile judge, not a Jew. In those times, Jews would not normally take any case before the civil authorities. Their disputes were, where possible, heard before church elders. If arbitration was needed, then a tribunal was assembled. One judge chosen by the plaintiff, one by the defendant, and one independent and impartially appointed. A single judge never sat alone. You will remember that in his first epistle to the Christian church in Corinth, St. Paul was at great pains to advise his converts not to be disputatious and take their legal cases before Roman courts. In a commentary on the first epistle to the church in Corinth, Bruce Winter explains the corruption that could be found in civil courts, where the rich bribe the judiciary for judgments in their favour. In this parable, Jesus is not likening God to an unfair judge. Just as in the parable of the shrewd manager, God is not considered to be like the individuals in the stories that Jesus told. Jesus probably used some local issue, well known to his listeners, to attract their attention and to give his story a parochial content. There may have been a widow who achieved legal satisfaction by her persistence. God is contrasted with the avaricious and rapacious judge. If the judge could be wearied into giving a judgment in favour of the widow, how much more readily will God, Jesus argues, give his children what they need? In a short commentary on Luke's Gospel, Anselm Grün suggests that the widow in the parable is seen to represent a threatened Christian community, maybe the one for which Luke was writing, a community that perhaps turned in vain to the state authorities for support. The judge who hears the woman's pleadings does not seem to fear God, for he pays no attention to anyone. The widow can also be seen to represent a type of individual, one who is oppressed by enemies or hurt by others and cannot defend herself. The widow in the story is symbolic of the poor and defenceless. She does not have the wherewithal to bribe the judge and get a decision in her favour. The only weapon she has in her armoury is persistence. Now, it may be that the judge feared physical retribution from the widow. She may have been a large and purposeful woman. The word translated as bothering, because this widow keeps bothering me, can also mean exhausts or closes the eyes. Eyes can become closed by exhaustion or by assault, as in receiving a black eye. The Greek word euproposia, used by Luke, literally means to give a black eye. However, Luke is suggesting that his readers trust in their prayers, prayers that sometimes seem so weak. It is within prayer that men and women get justice. In prayer, they have a right to life, a right to dignity, a right to help. In prayer, we find that those who would oppress us, in fact, have no power over us. Jesus demonstrated this quite clearly for us when he prayed on the cross for those who crucified him. His murderers could not possibly triumph over him. Thus, we are taught by Jesus to pray to our Heavenly Father. How may we expect our prayers to be answered? I was taught by a wise old priest many years ago that God answers all prayers with a yes or a no, or a wait a little while. Of course, God does not necessarily answer prayer through his own actions. He often uses us to answer the prayers of others, even if we don't necessarily know that we are doing it. While crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner, Frederick Mayer, the early 20th century Baptist pastor, was asked to address some of the passengers on the subject of answered prayer. An agnostic who just happened to be present at the service was asked, "What did you think of Dr. Mayer's sermon?" To which he replied, "I didn't believe a word of it." Later in that afternoon, the agnostic was on his way to another service, just to hear, as he put it, what the babbler had to say. He had two oranges in his pocket, and as he walked towards the meeting place, he passed an elderly woman who was sitting in a chair, fast asleep. In a spirit of fun, the man slipped the two oranges into her outstretched palms. After the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of the oranges. He remarked, "You seem to be enjoying those oranges, ma'am." To which she replied, "Yes, my father is very good to me." He said, "Your father? Surely your father can't still be alive." She exclaimed, "Praise God, he's very much alive." She then went on to explain to the agnostic that she was referring to her heavenly father, and said, "You see, I've been seasick for days. I was asking God to somehow send me an orange to help ease my sickness, and I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying. However, when I woke up, I found that he had not only sent me one orange, but two." To this response, the agnostic was speechless. Later, during that same cruise, he was converted to Christianity and was made a believer, based on his new understanding that God did indeed answer prayers. We must then be committed to prayer. Jesus says that we ought always to pray. This is the theme continued by St. Paul, who wrote in his first letter to the Christian community in Thessalonica, "Pray without ceasing." Without ceasing has the idea of no intermission. It can be like a nagging cough, or that tickle at the back of the throat that suggests that a cough is just about to start. Jesus is telling us to be ready, to be on guard, to be watchful. This instruction contains the idea of being in the attitude of an atmosphere of prayer all the time. You see, prayer is more than just an obligation. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to be in constant touch with our Heavenly Father so that we may pray to him any time that the need arises. So we must pay great attention to that word persistence. We should also be comforted by prayer. The concluding question in verse 8 wonders if Jesus will find faith when he returns. That is, will he find his people persisting in prayer before the Father over the things that really matter? The answer to that question depends on you and me. We may be faithful, or we may not. We might persist, or we might not. You may ask, where is the comfort in this? The answer lies in what Jesus said. Notice that he said, "When the Son of Man comes." The comfort in prayer is this: God's people may not always do what they are supposed to do, but they can count on the Lord to keep every promise that he ever made. He will be faithful to honour his word to us. We may feel like giving up, But if we keep on praying, he will answer us in his time. That is, after all, his promise to us. St. Luke, with whom we started, had his feast day last Thursday. He was no stranger to prayer. The word pray appears over 30 times in his gospel. Nor was he unaware of the importance of persistence. He was a constant companion of St. Paul in his many journeyings. In the closing words to his epistle to Timothy, Paul wrote, "And the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, only Luke is with me." Tradition tells us that Luke, who wrote the gospel that bears his name and the Acts of the Apostles, that together form about a quarter of the New Testament, died at the age of 84 in Boeotia, an ancient province of Greece. Let us ask God for help to be persistent in our prayer life. And a final thought. We are taught that we will never grow weary in our prayer and our faith will never falter if, after we have offered to God our requests, we add that closing perfect petition, "Thy will be done." And now